Good evening, everybody. This is the Fakeologist speaking. It's Tuesday, October 5th, 2021. I always pause because it doesn't have the date on my computer until I hover the mouse over the bottom right corner. It's 8:32 in the p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. I'm talking to you from the North Shore of Lake Ontario, Canada, from the media capital of Canada, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And just having some technical issues tonight. Was setting up a new email address for FakeoTube as a backup, and I'm having password issues. So I have a funny feeling that I'm being blocked from my own website. But now it's working, so I don't know what the problem is. Maybe my website is super busy because everyone's coming to fakeologist.com/live to see when the show starts. Well, it starts most evenings at 8:30 in the p.m. Eastern Time, and I have yet to send out the emails because, of course, I was having difficulty connecting. So while I am doing that, I'm going to just do it really quickly. I'm just fixing up the show schedule, which is pretty much the same every single day of the week. But I often put in guests. I almost think it's a waste of time because I haven't had any guests lately. So I'm just talking to myself, basically. I have the phone lines open. If you want to call in, you certainly can. I don't think I've had a phone call in a long time. So if you want to be the first to break the ice, you can. Give us a call, 810-666-1984. Phone line should be working. Good evening, Lost Spider. Good evening, Gary. Jerry Gingrich, and I don't know if anyone's on the FakeoTube tonight. I'll just take a quick peek and see if this is working. See who's on there. I still haven't quite figured out my own FakeoTube chat because it seems to keep changing the page, so I can't even tell if I'm looking at yesterday's chat or if there's a difference. But if you're on FakeoTube's chat, just let me know. It was 6 days ago on this chat. I'm not even sure what that means. There's quite a few little quirks here and there with the FakeoTube chat. I don't even know how it works. It seems like there's different chat settings or chat sessions rather. I don't know if I'm looking at a chat session from 2 days ago. So I don't even know if the stuff from 2 days ago shows up. So here's one from 2 minutes ago. So I'll just put a hello in there. These are technical issues that I have. Try not to get bogged down. Doesn't look like anyone's in the FakeoTube chat. So I wish it would just keep one chat or t'other. But once more, we're here at, we have a blog, fakeologist.com/blog. If I don't have any calls tonight, I'll go back to my old rule where I'll only give it 30 minutes. The other thing is, I was thinking maybe I'll just read Twitter tonight. I don't have a lot to tell you about on FakeoTube because I'm spending tons of time going through all of Forrest Moretti's chats. And he's got about 200 of them, so it's going to take some time. But I still think he is one of the better communicators out there. I also have to go through Dr. Andrew Molden. He has a ton of stuff. I haven't even really started with him. I just put the introductory video audio, which wasn't that great. He was doing a presentation in Montreal a long time ago, and the sound is bad, and it's not a great intro to him, but I just found it as a summary. But Unreal, who is one of our commenters here, he really thinks that Andrew Molden is a waste of time. He can't find any papers that the guy's done, and he just thinks, don't waste any time. He's just a misdirection that the powers that be put in front of us to make us waste time going down the rabbit hole. I can see I'm being timed out on my old website. I think what it is half the time I can get on my own website, the other half I can't. And that's because I have two IPs going at once. Let's see here. Looks like so. I'll go to my my service provider and ask them. So I think half the time I can get on my website, the other half the time I can't, which is a nuisance. Okay, so if you can see here, Unreal is making lots of comments. I did a post, there are no safe vaccines, period. And that was, so we're going to click on this. This, if you go to, if you want to see the latest post, go to blog and you will see a drop down for latest posts. You can click a post, you click one of the links, and it will bring up the video. I don't know what this is. Vaccineimpact.com refuses to connect. Don't know what that is. So here we go. This is Unreal saying, it is just not credible that a doctor doing groundbreaking research on adverse vaccine reactions would not write any detailed scientific papers on his research. Thanks to Dirty Benny for linking to the above vaccine papers article. Really shows what a shallow figure Dr. Molden really is, and it reminds us why we should be careful with who we promote and reference to friends and family on a topic that really is literally vital. No place for quacks, and I'm afraid there are plenty. Let's take a look at this article. I don't think I've looked at this. All right. Vaccine papers. Do-do-do-do. Okay, this person did say that Dr. Molden was for realsies. He was an expert in psychiatry and neuroscience. Okay. He never became a practicing doctor. He took 9 years to trying to complete a 5-year psychiatry residency, but he didn't finish that either. Okay. We've got his residency here. Okay, this is pretty interesting. So good on Dirty Benny and good on Unreal for looking it up. I'm not sure if this totally discounts everything he's looked into. But interesting. We should look at that. And here's his hypothesis. Mini strokes, okay. So there, okay. So I'll read that. I have to admit, I haven't read it. I was going to watch his videos first, but maybe that's not the best idea. Yeah, so he says, I have now conclusively shown that all vaccines from infancy to geriatric are causing the exact same brain damage, irrespective of what disease or disorder comes from. Okay. All right. Well, very interesting. And this is where he's pointing out the crooked face thing, which is where I got this from. Forrest Moretti. So, yeah, listen, I am always willing to admit that I've got it wrong. And I am always willing to admit, like Unreal has posted, that we are given characters to follow. And then when we recommend them and other people look at them without their confirmation bias that we might have, we might come across as being crazy. I've been guilty of that before, although as much as Alex Jones comes across as crazy, he does spin tons of truth. Does he spin more crazy than truth? I would say no. He's just obnoxious about his truth. And maybe if he is a real character, which he possibly is not, maybe it's because he is so aggravated with the sleeping majority that just will not look at alternative theories. So maybe over all these years, he's just frustrated, totally frustrated. Now, I get that. You should get that if you've been trying to convince anyone of your way of thinking. It's very, very frustrating. So maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe that's why people get crazy and start yelling and screaming. Is it possible? I don't know. I think it's possible. Yeah, Rome, you have to be a member of FakoTube to chat there. It's very easy to become a member. You just put in your email, confirm your email, and then you're a member. There's nothing to it. A lot of people like YouTube because they get reliable notifications. Now I'm subscribed to so many YouTube channels, I get too many notifications, so I actually turn mine off because I don't want my phone filling up. But I do stream to YouTube, and I delete the email right away. I delete the YouTube channel right away, or the YouTube video right away. Although I forgot the last couple of days, and I didn't get my channel taken down. Now, it is a pain if you're struck away at YouTube, not to waste too much time on this, because you can't even log in using that profile. I actually just found that out the other day. It blocks you completely from YouTube if you're logged in with that profile. So I guess it makes the profile useless, and you got to go get another one. That's not that easy. And I think Twitter is the same way. Twitter, I think, even says if they ban you, you can't join up again. Now, you could just change your email, but I think you need a phone number to confirm. So there's all kinds of ways to screw with you, and they're good at it. And they just rely on the idea that it just wastes too much time, and who's going to spend that much time just to get on a platform? That's how I look at it. Now, it says here, I am logged into Twitter. And Twitter does send out a notification, and it says, we are live. And actually, it gives a link. So there's first it's we are live, then it gives a link. Someone was asking me if Twitter sends a link out. So it does send a link to the Twitter live page. So I guess if I click this, the Twitter live page will come up. And there I am live. So there I am over here. I have zero viewers. So there you are. It does work. And you can watch on Twitter. And no one is watching on Twitter. So it does exist. Zero viewers. Nobody cares. And here we go, looking at here. As Canada readies for biggest childhood vaccination campaign since polio, experts warn child-friendly strategies are needed. But that planning has just begun. Unbelievable. Wow. They are not letting go of this vaccination. That's why I am really focusing every single thing on the dangers of vaccination. And if this guy is a quack and he's the wrong guy to promote, then I will say so. I will say so. Unreal responded me saying to me he's not going to really watch the fanciful slides or the videos because he wants to see papers. But he can't do that anymore because he's allegedly dead. Now, I do have a commenter named David on here. David doesn't log in. If you want your comments to go right into the post, then make sure you register your email with me. Send me an email here, fakeologist.com/contact, and I will register you on fakeologist.com, and that way you can log in and your comments will go straight on, and they won't go to moderation. If you ever make a post and you've never made a post before, you will go into moderation, just so you know. All right. So let's quickly, did I do anything on FakoTube today? I don't think I really put too much on the FakoTube, but let's go over there and take a quick peek. Yeah, I actually did almost nothing today on FakoTube. So there you go. If you want, the last thing I did was I just put up, I'm already on episode 85 of Forrest Moretti. And I put this last one up because I thought it was pretty good. So I'm going to play this through and maybe make a comment on it.
Did you ever hear about the drug called Vioxx? It was that blockbuster arthritis pain-killing drug manufactured by Merck. In its short 5 years in the marketplace, it's estimated to have killed more Americans than the Vietnam War. Its competitor is Celebrex. I'm sure you've probably seen direct-to-consumer ads for that one everywhere. Immediately after Vioxx was approved by the FDA, problems began to surface. People seemed to be having heart attacks on the drug. Merck denied there was a problem. Lawsuits began to pile up. Merck denied there was a problem. People started to win their lawsuits. Merck said, well, okay, it might cause heart problems, but not unless you've used it for at least 18 months. It started causing problems in weeks. Merck denied there was a link. After getting hammered in the courtroom because it wasn't a vaccine, they eventually pulled the drug 5 years later. Other interesting things have since come to light. Fabricated efficacy studies authored by dead people, mysteriously abandoned safety studies, all kinds of shady dealings that make it clear that when push comes to shove, human safety often takes a backseat to profit. I think Merck and its fanboys and girls are the only people still insisting the drug was safe. Everyone else, even NPR, has accepted it was too dangerous to use. You remember a few years ago when we were having a financial meltdown? Several large banks had made some good, bad decisions. The regulations that governed their lending practices didn't help either. But whatever the reason, a couple of huge investment banks began to fail. Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, and a bunch of smaller ones. The government stepped in to try and stop the spread of failure because they were afraid it would get out of control. They dropped billions and billions of dollars into a bailout to keep more banks from failing. The banks that were rescued were considered too big to fail. That was the term they used. You remember that? Too big to fail? I think vaccines are too big to fail as well. It doesn't matter what the science says. It doesn't matter what the parents say. It doesn't matter what a growing number of pediatricians say. We simply, as compassionate human beings, are going to find admitting that vaccines have been a failure very, very difficult. Think about Vioxx. This was a drug that was being used mainly to treat arthritic pain. There were other options. Merck didn't fear that if someone stopped taking Vioxx, they'd die. Yet still, they fought tooth and nail to keep it on the market, lying, obfuscating, delaying, battling through lawsuit after lawsuit, even though it was obvious it was killing people. All of that for a drug, one of several options, that treated pain. If they would do that for a single pain reliever given to adults with arthritis, imagine what they would do for a product that was required for every single boy and girl born, whether they were sick or not. That means hundreds of millions of children took that product and were at risk. Imagine if instead of Vioxx, a single drug causing problems, it was 10 or 15 different products that were causing problems. Imagine if instead of one manufacturer, it was several of them. Imagine if the government itself, public health officials, doctors, and nurses, imagine if all of them had spent their entire life insisting that every child receive this product, whether they needed it or not. Imagine that rather than being a product to help manage pain, all of these people, the manufacturers, health officials, doctors, nurses, believed this set of products was literally preventing millions of children from dying. If Merck, a single manufacturer with a single product, with multiple alternatives on the market to manage pain, would go to the lengths they went to protect Vioxx and keep it on the market, even though it killed tens of thousands of people, imagine what all of them will do to protect vaccines. Imagine what the doctors and nurses who've administered hundreds of millions of these products into screaming children, imagine what they'll do to convince themselves it was the right thing. Imagine what parents who pinned their screaming children down to the table to receive them. Unfortunately, I don't have to imagine that one. If Vioxx, with its arthritic sufferers and tens of thousands of victims, was important enough for Merck to fight to the bitter end, it's not hard to see why vaccines are too big to fail. With a worldwide, aggressive immunization program given to nearly every child on the planet, it's something we had better been right about doing. Because if we're not, there's not a movie script in Hollywood that could capture the destruction we have caused. And that is my incredible opinion.
Yeah, well, there you go. So what I did and what I do often, this is how my mind works. So then I go over to TweetDeck, which is a good way of reading tweets. Twitter is still a very valuable gold mine of information, I have to admit. For instance, you can keep all kinds of different channels open for searches. So if I want to know about any search term, you can just stay up here. Like, I was looking up Amy Says WTF to see if she's coming back, which apparently she's not. Now, if you look up Vioxx, even 13 minutes ago, Grumpy Old Man is still talking about it. Had a heart attack at 40 when I was on Vioxx, suffering ever since, no thanks. So that Merck is developing the COVAIDS pill right now. And apparently Aunt Brandy Vaughn was talking about Vioxx, and then she was found dead. 36 minutes ago, Vioxx, an arthritis drug, directly caused an estimated 50,000 deaths, same as Vietnam. They paid over $7.5 billion. That's a lot. So Vioxx, the drug company Merck, was exposed to liability because Vioxx is not a vaccine. Vaccines are all indemnified. As he said, vaccines have a captive audience, a captive market. The government pays for all vaccines. It is an amazing business. You can see the money. And even though this whole PSYOP is not about money specifically towards the drug companies, it is a fantastic mechanism to distribute money to all the necessary people. So I still think the medical industry is being used to create this technocratic world. So it is the mechanism to distribute money all the way through. Now, this was another really fantastic my incredible opinion. He was talking about, I should almost play this again. I'm sorry. We're gonna get through all of his videos in the next few days. But this one was really good about how hospital workers, nurses, doctors, the affluent, the people that look into vaccine damage, they're the actual vaccine refuseniks. Not vaccine hesitant, they're the absolute refuseniks. They refuse them because they just know the damage they cause. Now, of course, they see all the adverse reactions because they're concentrated in the hospitals, so it might distort their view, but for the most part, they can see the problem and they can see how much damage vaccines can cause. So what if we made these nurses and doctors take vaccines, all of them, because vaccines, most of them don't stop spread if you believe in contagion. They need to be reapplied every year. So, and the tests and the doctors and nurses that don't take the vaccines, they're supposed to take an antigen test, and Forrest was saying that these tests really show absolutely nothing, so they're completely useless. Let me play a bit of this.
Have you ever wondered why medical workers don't have more aggressive vaccine requirements? In fact, shouldn't they have the most stringent vaccination requirements of anyone on the planet? After all, they work around older people who might be susceptible to the least little disease. They also work around cancer patients who may be undergoing immunosuppressing therapies. And they work around infants, tiny little babies, who are too young to get most vaccines. Certainly not too young to get a hepatitis B vaccine, of course. But aren't all these groups some of the most vulnerable on the planet? All of them gathered together every day in a single building, and all the medical professionals that are taking care of them are probably some of the most under-immunized people on the planet. We all know that vaccines don't work for everyone, and when they do work, they don't work for very long, sometimes as little as a couple of years. So if you are an infant, that means you've never got any vaccines, and if you're older than 20, you probably haven't had a booster in years. If you're older than 60, you probably haven't had any vaccines, other than maybe a polio or a flu shot. Think about what a complete nightmare waiting to happen the hospital is. It makes the elementary school petri dish look like child's play. Given the fragile patients they have to work around, hospital workers and medical professionals should have a more aggressive schedule than even what our kids get, shouldn't they? We know the vaccines don't work forever, so shouldn't these people be getting regular MMRs, Tdaps, polios, hep Bs, Gardasil, and every other possible vaccine just in case? If patient safety is what you're all about, dear hospital administrator, shouldn't you err on the side of caution and get all of your staff out of the under-immunized column? Do you not care about the herd at all? Are you trying to kill off all your patients? Isn't the point to keep them alive? But guess what? You can't get many of the medical professionals to even take one vaccine. You have to threaten to fire them just to get them to take the flu shot. They won't even take that one shot. One single injection, and they will dare you to fire them before they take that shot. What's going on? Don't they care about all these people they are supposed to be taking care of? Or are they just idiot anti-vaxxers like yours truly? If you decide to forgo vaccinations, you are an esteemed company. The two most prevalent groups of vaccine refuseniks are affluent, educated parents and medical professionals. That's right. If you were to take all the people who have refused vaccines for their children or themselves, the majority of them are either affluent, college-educated parents, or they are nurses and doctors, or both. In some other videos, I've tried to illustrate how little nurses and doctors learn about vaccines in medical school through their formal training, but evidently many of them have learned a lot about vaccines on the job. How can you tell? Well, they won't even take one of them. They refuse them. They threaten to quit or risk losing their jobs every day rather than take them. We all know that the CDC, if they thought they could get away with it, they'd recommend the same ridiculous vaccine schedule they try to force on every kid in the country. They'd recommend that same schedule to the medical workers. Imagine the PR, the commercials they could get from that move. Look, they'd say, all the nurses and doctors do the same schedule whenever we ask. They all do it. 18 vaccines, or whatever it'd be. And look, they're totally fine. They're completely healthy. So what are you afraid of? Millions of people take this exact same schedule, and there's nothing to be afraid of. You think the CDC wouldn't kill for that? They would. They would kill for that PR. But you know what? They don't dare try it. Ever. Because if that single piece of crap flu shot is enough to get surgeons, doctors, and nurses to submit their two-week notice, you can guarantee they would never, ever put up with the full vaccine schedule, the same one they inject into babies in their first few months of life. The medical professionals know what's going on, and they're not afraid. They can't be scared into submission like all the new moms pregnant for the first time, with no real experience and looking for comfort that their baby will be okay. Can you imagine the nurses, what they would do? They would laugh in your face if you told them they'd have to get the full baby vaccination schedule. I would love to be in that hospital-wide meeting when that announcement was made. Can you imagine how fast the parking lot would clear? The next time you go to a hospital, look around at all the sick people, the elderly, the immunocompromised, the infants, all so vulnerable. Then take a look at all the medical workers tending to their care, working tirelessly to help them get well. Ask yourself if the health of an elementary school is so precarious that we force parents to vaccinate their children from 100 diseases against their will, why aren't we doing it there in the hospital of all places? We know the answer. They'd laugh in your face. They'd submit their 2-week notice and go find somewhere else to work. And that is exactly what you should do the next time your pediatrician suggests the full vaccine schedule for your child. And that is my incredible opinion.
All right, sorry for being lazy tonight and just playing his videos, but I thought that was fantastic. Now we're seeing the nurses and doctors leave. So this is where it gets super interesting. Actually, I wanted to get that sticker. Actually, I'm going to have to see. Let me see if I can get that. Let's see if he put it up there. Good luck with your vaccine. So let's see if we can get that sticker because I have a sticker printer. They're pretty cheap, actually. No, there it is there. On Zazzle, of all places. That's amazing. Zazzle wouldn't put any of my stuff on board back when this whole thing started. So let me just do a quick clip of that. And we will save this. And I think I'll print that. Good luck with your vaccine. I think I'll print that sucker out. That's cool. I don't think I'll put it on the back of my car. I think it's a positive message. Should have a website on there. Maybe put it on my website, fakeologist.com. It's kind of funny. Yeah, so that is why I am focusing on that. Now, here's another paper that I haven't even looked at this yet. Infinite Plane is doing all kinds of good work. He's writing all kinds of papers, and I'm linking to most of them, even before I read them, because I like him. I like his work. He was on the show in the past before, and he's got quite a few people looking at his stuff here. He's pooing on, I think. But yeah, this is What is a Virus? The Pseudoscientific Absurdity of Modern Virology. Yeah, so he's got 19 pages here where he discusses and looks up the whole pseudoscience of viruses. So it's quite interesting. Yeah, I think it is a pseudoscience. So I'm going to link to this one. There's the alien / virus that we all have in our brains that has this little phallus here. So it's a bit of a spider, a bit of a phallus, and this is the penetrating end of the phallus that penetrates into the cell. Yeah, this is something else. That's what is in most people's heads about what a virus looks at or what a virus looks like. Pretty funny. So I'll link to this one as well. Let me just do a quick post. You can see how that works. I'll just do a quick post on that. Put this up. And sometimes he makes PDFs. He does a lot of linking to a Google Doc. That way he can constantly update it, which is obviously just like a website. It'd be a lot better if he had a website, but the problem with Google Docs is I think you need a Google account to log in. A lot of people don't like to log in, but I'm not sure. Maybe you can look at it without. I can do a quick check on that for you. So here's the link. So if I start another link, if I start a private tab, if I can remember. All these different things you got to know. Let's see. New. I think it's Control Shift N for private tab. Okay. Control Shift M. Yeah, I guess you can look at it as anonymous. Okay. A lot of times you have to log in. I know a lot of people don't like when I link to Telegram because you definitely have to have an account on Telegram to look at anything on Telegram. A lot of people don't like that. By the way, Telegram was really busy yesterday. It was taking forever to load any picture or video, obviously because Slavebook and WhatsApp were down. Well, that was something else. But going back to TweetDeck, Twitter, looking up Vioxx, just tons of stuff in the last couple hours. So this is the world waking up to Merck again, Vioxx, and mostly negative. Mostly negative. They had a hit list. Merck had a hit list of doctors that were speaking out against Vioxx. So they worked up quite the campaign to not pay out. They used all the tricks in the book. There's just tons of stuff on Vioxx, which is, it's been a long time. They lied about fluoride. They lied about thimerosal. They lied about asbestos, Cipro, Vioxx, GMOs, glyphosate, Teflon, aluminum adjuvants, aspartame, cigarettes. Yeah, that's a pretty good one. This is the best way to find anyone, by the way, on the Twitters. You just find a search term. It's really a fantastic way, and Mrs. Fakeall just does this. She'll just spend all day looking for no vaccine passports anywhere, or just no vaccine passports. There's a couple of hashtags. So she'll go through this. This is just one thing to look for, and she will find all kinds of different people that would never be in your timeline talking about this one topic. And you can see that this topic is super hot. It's got one, well, it's not too hot, but one 21 minutes ago, one 33 minutes ago. Tons of people that are against the vaccine passports. And I think most people around the world are now concentrating on the vax passports. I think the only thing that's going to stop this is if people just do united noncompliance and set up a parallel system. I mean, what else is there? One of my daughters is looking at a job, and the first interview at the end, she was committed to the second interview. First interview at the end, they said, oh, and you're going to need a vaccine passport. So this is pretty draconian. So I think my advice to her is going to be, and we are at a huge disadvantage as a minority, and that is, you're going to have to find businesses that are not going to require. So go work for them. Now, how long are these businesses going to be able to resist the majority view? I don't know. And the fines are just going to go up and up and up and up. Now, are any of the fines enforceable? No. Are they all against the law? Yes. Is anyone going to challenge them? It's going to be difficult. Why? Well, because the government, I think I talked about this yesterday with Chris Sky, the government is retaining all the law firms that could challenge their unconstitutional laws. So they've really moved all their chess pieces in to create checkmate, which is what you would do if you were taking over society, for sure. It's crazy. So if you think that this is going to go away, you're wrong. And they're just escalating. And I don't even want to know how it's going to end up. But in a way, I want to see how this goes. But in a way, I don't want to see how this goes. So getting back to Twitter. So that's no vaccine passports. Wales in the United Kingdom just passed it. vaccine passports. What's this Rhode Island person saying? Is this a picture or a video? Let's see here. I don't know if I can play videos within TweetDeck. Of course, it always.
You can see this crowd is starting to come down Fulton again. The entire road is blocked for hundreds, hundreds of protesters walking in support of letting healthcare workers choose if they want to get the vaccine or not. And I'll be back here at 6. We're going to be following this whole downtown. Of course, it started at State House. Now we're walking down at Providence. We're live in Providence. Olivia DeRosa, ABC 6 News.
Okay, that's in Rhode Island, a very small state. So I see in TweetDeck I cannot play the video live. Okay, so we just have to click here. Oh, actually, just click it. Is it coming through?
So I'm just having a spot of lunch, just finished outside the Senate, Welsh Parliament, on the demonstration against vaccine passports. And I've got to be honest with you, I'm feeling a bit deflated, a bit down. Not because of the event, but for the simple reason that there's no real national outcry here in Wales over what's going on. You know, the Welsh Government are literally taking away the freedoms of people by introducing a vaccine passport in certain settings and making it mandatory and compulsory for these industries to have them in our healthcare as well, in the NHS, in so many areas. And yet, social media is quiet. Mainstream media says nothing. And sometimes it feels a lonely place when you stood up shouting and speaking out. It was great to see some other friends here today supporting it from Together Declaration and other groups as well. But where is the national outcry on this? You know, I hear so many of my friends in England, you know, speak out against vaccine passports, yet in Wales, I mean, it's just heartbreaking. And listen, it's not going to deter me. I'm going to keep speaking out and standing up and shouting, and because it is wrong, it is discrimination, and it is.
Let's just see, well, did anyone say anything about that? So let's just check this out. So we click on this. Oh, I see. Well, got some good responses here. Best wishes, da-da-da-da-da-da, so that's not bad. Lifetime Leaf fan, Toronto Maple Leafs, but will not support any team or organization that supports a vaccine passport, a vacation passport. F the Leafs. Penal colony. It's medical apartheid. Yeah, I hate looking at these pictures of the children. We'll click here. Do not like looking at this kind of stuff.
2, 3. I wear a mask to school. I wear a mask to school. Hi ho the Dario. I wear a mask to school. It helps to keep me safe. It helps to keep me safe. Hi-ho, the Dario, it helps.
Yeah, I just wish people could educate their own children at home, start your own home groups. That's disgusting. And they're just pounding it in the schools, too, just the messages. It's crazy. Yeah, you're getting some people that are just pounding the hashtags. Wow, Wake Up America, it's about social control, not about the science. Here's protesting in Scotland. This is definitely worldwide. Yeah. Unbelievable. What's Biden saying now? I can't stand listening to him, but maybe I'll just play this.
Parenthetically, when you build a charging station, it's like back in the day when my grandpa worked for the American Oil Company back in the turn of the 1920 in that area. They went from state to state convincing people that allowed them to put 20,000 gallons of gasoline under the ground. They didn't want them around. But
he just cannot talk. And I think they're just building a case for no more elected officials, just put in appointed officials. Yes, so lots of Welsh stuff today. China is invading Taiwan. Chinese do not like that. Chinese nationalists that are in Taiwan don't like that. I think this is a big video that's going around. I haven't looked at this. What's this about? Okay, that's not going to play. Let's see if we can play it this way.
My face went red raw. It's still red now, red raw. And my heart went absolutely ballistic through my chest. I panicked, as you would. And I sat there very quietly and didn't say anything. I waited to see if it passed and my heart rate settled down. I'm not sure whether it was just my body's reaction, like panicking, or because I was pretty nervous about the whole thing. But needless to say, that was very unpleasant for me. I hope that other people don't have that experience, because in that split second, I actually thought I was having an allergic reaction. So, I'm going to go home now and have a bit of a rest. Because that scared the shit out of me. I actually felt like I was having a heart attack. So I spoke to the doctor about it before I left the vaccination hub, and he said, you know, just monitor it, and if it happens again, to go to my GP or whatever. I'm feeling a little bit of regret. I'm absolutely terrified, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, so many stories like that. So many people are suffering in silence as well. They're embarrassed because, or they're experience complete cognitive dissonance. They know that they're told this is good, and then they experience it as bad, and they suppress that idea, and they actually disassociate the fact that something just hurt them that they were told is good. So they can't reconcile the two, so they just accept it as good and suck it up. They don't even complain. So good on the people that are actually making videos. It's really crazy. But it's happening. These people are suffering severe cognitive dissonance.
No, Darren Millar, we are holding the vote.
Oh, so apparently the vote in Wales passed by one vote because somebody couldn't get in a Zoom meeting? How's that for crazy? Wow. That's pretty disgusting. So it was actually a pretty close. And in Ontario, we have an independent thrown out of the government caucus. Roman Babar tried to introduce a jabs and jobs bill. But anytime a independent tries to introduce any kind of bill, it just gets quashed. So I guess that just died on the floor. Which is to be expected. That's what happens in a majority government in the British parliamentary system, which we use it on terrible. And just scrolling through the no-vax passports, just lots of stuff. You could spend your entire life looking at this, which I will not. I can also go over here to Andrew Molden. Nobody's really talking about Andrew Molden since he's disappeared for a long time. But when you do search Andrew Molden, I got this interesting thread. Dr. Mia Bloom, whoever she is, she did a thread, I guess, on all the people that are speaking out against or just speaking about the harms of vaccines, and quite a list here. Russell Blaylock, Shiv Chopra, Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Suzanne Humphreys. I know a few of these names. not all of them, though, but it's Titania Obunkhanich. I think Forrest mentioned her. Yeah, okay. Dr. Andrew Molden's number 26. So you got to wonder how many of these people are real, how many are not. Now, Paul Thomas, I like him. I'm surprised. I guess, yeah. So he actually, let's see what this is. He's the guy that actually did a study in his pediatrics. And he goes back a while. He was disciplined. He was thrown out. But his study is fantastic. Basically, his unvaccinated patients did far better. Fewer allergies, if none at all. Just really fantastic. And he paid the price. And I think he's real. I don't think he's controlled. He did studies. And I did put him on fakeologist.com. He wasn't really talking like Dr. Andrew Molden or Molden about the micro strokes. But he was talking about how the adjuvants, the metal adjuvants, aluminum adjuvants, were way higher when they're injected than they're even allowed in food, as in fish. You're not allowed to, you shouldn't eat so much fish because they have concentrations of aluminum. And that goes through your gut, which is your absolute most solid defense mechanism in your body, your gut. Almost nothing gets by your stomach, but you inject it and it bypasses everything. Yeah, Jerry, I think you are going to need a passport to log in to the internet. That's coming too. That's definitely one thing. Now going over to the Fakeologist chat, seems to be working. So yeah, I think Rachel just signed up. So that was easy, Rachel. I saw you sign up in the system, so it's easy to get onto FakeoTube. MC Murdoch is out there. Yeah, the picnic protest, that was fantastic. Where they camped out in front of restaurants and brought their picnics. Not going to work too well in the winter, but it's a pretty good idea. Okay, what else do I got on the blog? Like I said, this is another one. I guess I posted this today too. Anyone heard of Dr. Pan? I think he's a senator in California. Let's see if he's still current. This is from 2016. But he's the one that wanted to build COVID camps. And, measles outbreak camps. Is he still going? Let's take a look here. Yeah, he's still going. He's the main author of California's vaccine laws. Oh, my God. And he wants to. He was the one that was doing a lottery. This guy's crazy. Wow. So he's still going. Yep. Wow. Crazy. I'll play a bit of this and then I think I'll go.
Dr. Rick Pan, the perpetually panicked physician from California who somehow acquired a job as a state senator, introduced some new legislation this week that reveals more about his defective intellect than I think he could possibly imagine. More on that in a minute. Richard Pan, if you're not familiar with him, is best known for his faint-hearted demeanor and his stunt work in some of the early Jason Bourne films. He's also known as the author of California SB 277, the legislation that removed parents' ability to decide what medical care their children should receive. A step in the right direction, no doubt, if the right direction is a totalitarian state where pharmaceutically trained physicians set the rules when it comes to child rearing and perhaps child having at some point. Emboldened by the national acclaim and accolades he received from drug companies and other intellectual idiots around the world, Dr. Rick has taken things to a whole nother level. a level which we can safely refer to as the final solution. On December 5th, 2016, Pant introduced a new bill, Senate Bill 18, into the California legislature. I'm convinced the scriptwriter for the Divergent series or any of the other dystopian fantasies, I'm convinced they helped him craft the language in this proposal. But spend a few minutes reading it and you'll see where our dear doctor wants to take things. I must give you a quick sample. The legislature finds and declares that all children, regardless of gender, class, race, ethnicity, national origin, culture, religion, immigration status, sexual orientation, or ability. So touching, right? So well-intentioned. All children, except for apparently those who have medical conditions not acknowledged by the state, all children have inherent rights that entitle them to protection, special care, and assistance, but not limited to the right to parents, guardians, or caregivers who act in their best interest, as defined by an expert like Pan. Number two, the right to form healthy attachments with adults responsible for their care and well-being. What does that even mean? Other than it's super creepy. Number three, the right to live in a safe and healthy environment. And I'll just skip down to number seven, the right to appropriate quality health care, as defined, again, by an expert like Pan. It doesn't take much to read between the lines anymore, does it? When Paul Offit has come out and said that parents who believe the vaccines cause autism should have their children taken away from them and handed over to the state, you can see what this bill is for, right? This bill is to provide the groundwork for something much more insidious than mandatory vaccines. Let me paint a picture for what Dr. Pan's final solution might look like. Dr. Pan, like Dr. Offit, has become very afraid of anti-vaxxers. Despite the fact we are completely safe and effective, Dr. Pan cannot bring himself to even have a conversation with one. We are shady, shifty creatures, subhumans almost, who sneak around the great state of California and attempt to infect others with disease and indoctrinate the vulnerable with whispers of evil. Uncontent with mandatory vaccination for everyone, Pan is envisioning a more bold set of actions to keep Californians safe and free from potential fifth column attacks from anti-vaxxers. How might this work? Pan and his colleagues might draw up health zones that denote regions of California that they deem of paramount importance. These zones, declared at the discretion of state public health officials, will be kept free of any and all persons deemed unhealthy or likely to spread lies about the dangers of vaccination. Public health records will be used to determine who these people are. First-gen anti-vaxxers, second-gen, third-gen, it won't matter. If you are even 1/16th anti-vaxxer, you will be tagged for evacuation. Evacuation to where? Well, Pan and them have drawn up the map and have designated several places within the health zones where isolation and re-education camps are to be built. Tule Lake, Manzanar, Poston, and Gila River. Anti-vaxxers and their children will be sent there and will remain there until the health threat from disease caused by anti-vaxxers has passed. Sterilization programs may be enacted on discretion of camp directors. Those in these camps who allow themselves to be re-educated may re-enter the exclusionary zones under curfew until their allegiance is proven to be complete. These camps, while they may feel cruel, are a temporary and necessary step in maintaining the good health, both physical and mental, of all Californians. Does this sound preposterous to you? Unbelievable? Well, Pan and his people, that is to say medical professionals, know a thing or two about this kind of experience. You see, back in World War II, the same kind of thing happened, and I'm not talking about internment camps. Doctors in Germany were given unlimited medical freedom to experiment and test their theories and inventions on Jewish citizens placed in concentration camps. I'll save you the traumatic details, but just know that physicians and doctors who were as well-intentioned as Pan is right now made the most of their opportunities. Also during the war, Japan had a notorious medical research and development group called Unit 731, which killed hundreds of thousands of Chinese and Russian men, women, and children, all in the name of advancing science. Perhaps Dr. Pan is unfamiliar with Unit 731? While this little exercise may feel outlandish to you, it's happened before by a different set of people, to a different set of people, for a different reason. But we are all capable of such a travesty. All of us, even Dr. Pan. I hope that he perhaps will spend a bit of time reading up on some history books and realize what humans, despite their best intentions, are capable of. Perhaps he will rethink the dark path he is attempting to lead us down. And that is my incredible opinion.
All right, so there he is. That's a lot of Forrest tonight. I thank you for listening. Thank you for indulging me in this. I think it's the most important topic right now. Everyone here is going to have to be thinking about vaccines. So Lost Spider says he's a Japanese descendant. Yeah. Well, there you go. The Japanese were hated amongst the Pacific Rim in that area for sure. They were the most brutal, so for sure it's, history does repeat itself, for sure. So thank you for letting me indulge you with some of my Forrest. He is definitely the best quick and dirty commenter on this. He's done the most succinct research and summary. And everyone is going to have to really focus on this for the next few months because this is what this passport is all about. Could they have done this passport without the vaccination thing? No, I don't think so because they wouldn't be able to convince people of its necessity. But because you scare people into thinking that they don't want to be around anti-vaxxers or the uninjected, the only way they can stir up a really solid, convincing division to get 100% compliance so everyone can move forward into the digital passport system. And I did post on that, actually, now that I think about it. And this led me to truthtalk.uk. And this is what it's all about. And he does the best absolute research on the digital ID. Vaccine passports are designed to soften us up for the mass rollout of digital ID, central bank digital currencies, and a Chinese-style, American-created social credit system in which anyone who challenges the billionaire-financed technocratic elite will be socially isolated and financially impoverished. It is increasingly clear that we, even in Western democracies, are being governed not by our elected representatives, but by a combination of permanent government agencies, the deep state, which themselves are often funded in part by corporate interests, very large corporations, NGOs, foundations, and other nonprofit funded by a handful of billionaires, I would say trillionaires as well. On August 27th, the WHO issued guidance on digital vaccine passports. The agency, which is funded largely by the United States government, the Chinese Communist Party, and billionaire individuals and NGOs, issued a 99-page document entitled Digital Documentation of COVID-19 Certificates, Vaccination Status. They've been working on this forever. We've got Bill and Melinda Gates, the government of Estonia, which is one of the three Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. We saw the letter from Lithuania that I posted. Foundation Botnar, not sure what that is. I guess I could click it. State of Kuwait and the Rockefeller Foundation. Common Pass, coming from the Commons Project. The Kuwait Civil Digital ID Card System was developed by German defense contractor the Thales Group. Uh-huh. goal of SDG, Sustainable Development Goal from the United Nations, Agenda 2030. Goal 16.9, why is it a decimal point, is based on digital identity by 2030, provide legal identity for all, including birth registration. So there you go. That's the plan. It's hard to see too far into the future because everyone is just spinning on the latest changes, but you really want to get a great idea. Go to truthtalk.uk and read up. Seek for Truth, I think, is the guy that does this. He's got a mailing list. He's online, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Very, very good article. Vaccine passports. Yeah, pretty much that's all he talks about. It's all about the vaccine passports. That's what it's all about. Digital tracking. You're going to reset the money system. You're going to have a central bank digital currency. I think it's going to be a worldwide currency. I don't think there's going to be any local regional currencies. I think it's just going to be one centralized currency. It's a huge project, hugely ambitious. Whether it'll work or not, there's a lot of people involved. So I don't think it's anything of this scope has ever happened before. I think it could easily fail, but that doesn't mean they're not going to keep trying. So it's pretty amazing, pretty awesome in its scope. It's destined to fail, I would say, for many years, but if they keep pounding it, it could work. But I'm not sure. I ain't sure at all. I hope it fails. But I'm not positive. All right, guys. Well, we've been going about an hour. I didn't have much to say tonight. I didn't do expansive work bringing you stuff. Sometimes I just get on these veins of information, and I want to finish listening to Forrest's stuff. I do want to try and look into Dr. Andrew Molden a little more. I've downloaded all his DVDs. Although, now that I get information from some of the other researchers who are doing a little bit of digging, I may not have to go down that rabbit hole. We'll see. We'll see. This is just how research works. You go through tons of dead ends before you get to something that might be the truth. And as long as you're willing to admit it, which I am, I don't really care which way we go with the research. Just know that I'm doing my best to find the truth. And thanks to your help, maybe we'll find it. Maybe we'll figure it out. There's lots of sources of information. It's just lots of people fighting on our behalf. A lot of people are really trying to figure this out and look into it. There's no one place you can go. You just have to just keep grabbing stuff from all over the place. I still think there's going to easily be a parallel society. Now, how well will we function? We'll have the same problems as any other society. Will we be able to coalesce in one place? I don't know that either. It's not going to be easy. Not going to be easy. And a lot of people, as I pointed out before, don't want to go back to the way things were. The healthcare system was in collapse before this started. Anything free will collapse, for sure. All they had to do is probably not make it free and just put it back on a real market-based direct system. Now, is that possible? I don't know. I think maybe not. A lot of things weren't working anyway, so this was their chance to redo everything in a central planning way. It's just this injection thing that I really object to. Because it drags up all the truth research on vaccinations, and none of it is good. I think vaccines, someone was saying, I think maybe Forrest said, they've been out for 250 years, and they've done more harm than good. All the outbreaks are the direct injection vaccinations. That's what they call outbreaks. Anytime they do a mass vaccination, flu shot, going back way to the beginning, that's what made people sick. And then they called that the outbreak, the contagion. It's the same old story. And now we're hearing nurses that are getting fired and have nothing to lose expressing that. They're letting you know. They're letting you know what they're seeing in the hospitals. And it's not good. A friend of mine had a young daughter or young son who had roseola. He wanted to take him to the clinic. Nine clinics said, don't come. Go to the hospital because your child is not injected. Can you believe that? So he couldn't. So nine clinics told him not to come in. Crazy. He said, go to the hospital. And all the child had was a rash, roseola. So it's not good what's going on. Not good. Not good. All right, guys, I'm going to take off now. We'll be back tomorrow at 8:30. I don't know if I'll have anything exciting to say. Feel free to call in. Come into the Discord. I had one new member of the Discord. Discord's been slow, too. But you can come by and talk to me through email. You can make a donation. Come to the Discord. Come to the Telegram. Lots of ways to communicate. But we will be back tomorrow. Thank you, all the regulars, for joining. Really appreciate it. Good night.